Feel like we can just go home now. Not really. Oh, I'm so thankful for the amazing history. Thank you, Pastor Nolan. It was so wonderful. Thank you. And we built this church on the rock Christ Jesus. And that's how we'll keep doing that. And in the spirit we began, and in the spirit we will continue. Thank you for those kind words. I do have a message God's laid on my heart, and I know we're going to be a little longer than usual today, so we'll feed you after. We'll re-energize you. And if you're up to it, you can take a run through the obstacle course outside, too, and get your juice back. I'll do my best to not keep you too long here, but God has laid this message, been working this message on my heart for a few weeks now, so I do want to share it. It's from Joshua chapter 3 and 4. And my sermon this morning and kind of the theme of today has been in the future. Kind of an interesting title, I know, when we're remembering the past. And but just pace with me this morning. Interesting enough, on Tuesday was my birthday. I turned 31. Wow, not one of you believe that. Not one of you. I'm embarrassed. I know I turned 46. I'm 31 at heart, 46, and 78 in hair. This is one of the things I actually like about Facebook. You know, you go on and people come on and they give you birthday greetings and you feel good. It's a good thing that Facebook does. Good on you, Facebook. They also do another good thing is they bring up memories from your past. And so one benefit of putting, you know, memories from your family on Facebook is that every day it reminds you of little things. And I love going on and seeing little pictures of my kids growing up and pictures of my family and you know, when they were toddlers and remembering those good times. And it's important to remember. It is good to have reminders of formational moments in our lives. And as we consider 70 years of Warden Full Gospel Assembly, I'm sure that minds are flooded with memories of how God has moved in the past and inspired us to great things. We saw many pictures, and I'm sure many of those pictures inspired many memories for you this morning. How incredible and extremely important that is. Can't say that loud enough this morning. Memories are complex and can invoke many different responses in the present. Our memories can bolster our confidence as we think about God's blessings and how they have become building blocks of trust in our lives. Our memories can also become a standard by which we measure every experience afterward, which can be detrimental if we're not careful about that. Many of us have experienced a significant move of God before, seasons of revival and renewal, seasons of growth and formation, seasons that at times we wished would become permanent. I've often prayed to God and said, God, why do revivals have to be like waves? Why can't we just raise the tide? But as we approach the colder months of this year, we are all thankful that seasons are temporary. So as an expected family of God, how should we view these significant events in our past in light of where God is leading us now? This is the question I want to ask this morning. Are our memories and experiences inspiring us, or are they holding us in a time and a place that nothing since has ever measured up to? And I say that with all respect and all honesty, and I say it to myself this morning, but I am going to preach this sermon as a little bit of a call to action this morning. I think Scripture gives us a clear path to follow here, a path that helps us cherish the value of those moments when we experience such great moves of God. Amen? But in a way that keeps our eyes towards the exciting days that God has planned for WFGA's present and future. I dream about this church. I dream for this church. God placed things in my mind that I literally go back to my closet with him and I say, are you crazy? And he says, careful now. Seriously. But in a way that keeps us thinking forward. In Joshua 3 and 4, we have the well-known account of God stopping the waters of the Jordan River so the Israelites could cross. And it is an incredible miracle. And here we see the people of Israel moving out from Shittim towards the Jordan River as they were preparing to possess the promised land. They approached the Jordan. The Jordan was at flood stage, and it was during harvest season, so it was as big and as wide and as strong as that river was ever going to get. And they had camped near the Jordan for 3 days when Joshua gave some very specific orders to the people. And we're going to talk about these orders and how they progressed through the river in just a moment, but let's pray first. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, I pray, O God, that you would help me to communicate this word with clarity of thought and speech. You'd help me to function in the anointing you placed on my heart and my life to do this. So, Father, open our hearts. Challenge us, oh God. Help us to receive this word so it changes us today, Lord, for having heard it. We love you. We honor you. Holy Spirit, you are the primary communicator in this room. I submit, surrender all my efforts to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Consequently, a couple weeks ago, I had an opportunity to sit down with Mr. Vitalik, and he told me about the first time he received the baptism in the Spirit and some persecution he experienced. It's amazing. It's amazing the power that the Spirit of God can give you, and we trust him this morning. Amen? So as we proceed through this account, I will be highlighting some characteristics we see in every significant move of God, I think, that we see in this passage. And the first characteristic is movement. In Joshua chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, it says, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the Ark. Do not go near it." When the presence of God moves, we move. That's the simple principle here. Every move of God begins when praying people are inspired to break patterns and to be courageous towards what God has inspired them to do. Pastor Nerling talked about breaking patterns, doing something that was out of their comfort zone, and they stuck a spade in the soil here and broke the ground, and here we are today because someone took a step of faith and moved. Sometimes it is as simple as moving out from our positions, and sometimes we need to change the position that we're in. It is realistic to think that there were at least some Israelites who thought they were probably going to wait until the swollen river receded before they were going to cross. They were going up to the river. They understood the promise that God had told them, that they were going to receive the promised land, but they probably thought, I'm sure some of them thought, well, we'll wait until the river recedes, and then we'll cross at an appropriate spot in the river, and we'll do it that way. That's how it generally happened. But this is the same God who brought them through the Red Sea, amen? It's the same God who delivered them from the Israelites, from the Egyptians. The instructions from God through Joshua for the people was to move out of your positions. Comfort can be a wonderful, but it can also kill progress. If we are to experience what God has planned for us, we cannot assume that we can sit and wait for the waters to recede. Society is different than it once was. But in every generation, it has become increasingly difficult to be Christian and to raise the Christian family. But God's faithfulness has more than met the demand. The power of God will be the change agent. We can't wait for the floodwaters to recede. We move and trust that God will take care of the obstacles. In Scripture and in my experience as well, every move of God has begun with obedience. 2 Chronicles 7 and 14 starts with the condition, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from your wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land." Movement. Any movement we do is because of obedience. And there's no other way to live our life than to be obedient to Christ. In the same theme of obedience, the people of Israel were called to consecration. Joshua Chapter 3, verse 5 says, Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Set yourselves apart. Show yourselves to be holy. No move of God has ever happened where holiness wasn't present. Prepare yourselves ceremonially and otherwise, because God is going to move. God's going to do something amazing tomorrow. Every move of God is marked by consecration, preparation, and by holiness. If we prepare our hearts for God's power to be displayed, are we preparing our hearts for God's power to be displayed? Are we investing in our own personal relationships with God in a way that prepares us for a corporate move of God? Are we invested in our corporate relationship with God so our hearts are expecting the miraculous as a body? I believe in the miraculous. I've seen it change lives. It's changed my life. God does not ask us to change our position and consecrate ourselves unless he has somewhere for us to go and a reason. In keeping with the theme of obedience, he then tells the Israelites to stand in verse 8 of chapter 3. Verse 8 says, tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. Obedience implies giving instructions and accepted responsibility. Can you imagine? Okay, God, we're up. We've changed from our comfortable position. I have set myself apart. You know, what's next? Go stand in the river. The river is as big and as fast moving as it's going to be all year. And they are to take the Ark of God and stand in the river. We need to think about the implications of that for one thing. If one of them slipped and touched the Ark by accident, there's very possibly they could have died. It's happened in other parts in Scripture. They're going out into this muddy river. Go ahead and take it out into the muddy flood-stage rivers. Take the ark with you out there where the fast-moving water is going. Just go do what I ask you to do. Go stand there. Changing our position and consecration are absolutely necessary, but the farther we go with God and the more we need to learn to rely on him. As Christians, we can get in trouble when we think that the next step is going to be easier. I don't know about you, but when he said, you know, we went to look at the building we were interested in and it was burnt out on the inside, that didn't feel like a very easy moment. And then you go up the road and says, here's a big empty property with no building on it. How about we go there instead? Whew, that takes faith. That takes strength. That takes obedience. In every move of God, he requires obedience and faith, but there will always be a moment where we realize that unless God shows up, I can go no further. When we set out to do things that we can accomplish on our own, we are simply following our own plans. We can plan. We can do things, and they can seem so much strategically, but when we seek and we head out to do things that we can accomplish on our own, we're following our plans. We're not following God's plans. God will call us to a place where he has to show up to fulfill what he needs to do. There is no place that God will call us where his power, presence, and grace are not necessary for the journey. Warden knows difficult. You have been through it. You have. In the natural, you have every right to be afraid to dream again, because the last time you did, it was met with such imaginable loss. Spend much time in prayer about this, thinking about this. But I believe today he is calling us again to move. To set ourselves apart and stand in the river, because he is going to do something miraculous. God had a plan to display his power, to show the people of Israel that Joshua was placed in leadership by God as Moses was. It says it in chapter 3 and chapter 4. The power of God was about to create a moment that would inspire them for generations to come. So here they are, standing in the river. So what's next? God shows up in power. The miraculous is what's next. Every move of God is accompanied by the miraculous power of God. In chapter 3, I just want to read a portion of the passage here. Just listen to this account as they enter the water. It says in verse 9, It says, Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. See, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Where his presence go, we go. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of the Arabah, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. It's pretty amazing. You know, people have tried to explain this miracle away and said, oh, it was a landslide that happened. Those things happen all times of years. But think about the precision that would have happened, that when the priest stepped into the water, a town that's about 18 miles north, the water would have been had to cut off at the right time, 18 miles north, so that when the feet of the priest hit that water, it receded. Think about that for a moment. Why is it unrealistic, if it was a landslide, why is it unrealistic to think that God could use his creation to create the miracle? It's just an amazing, amazing thing. They changed their position. They set themselves apart. They listened and carried the presence of God ahead of the people into the river, and then God showed up in power. God's power will provide the way through the rivers, the mountains, the restrictions, the obstacles of life, whether physical, financial, bureaucratic, pharisaical, or otherwise. If he calls, he supplies. Hallelujah. I've had to talk myself into that one a few times. God has asked me to do some pretty crazy things. I had to talk myself into that one. And you get to the door that God says he's going to open, and you got to trust that he's going to open it. It's not open yet, but you got to trust that he's going to open it when you put your foot in front of that door, because his presence has gone ahead of you. Next, they tell him to stop. Stay until he says to go. Chapter 3, verse 17 says, the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan. The waters receded, and they stood on dry ground, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Chapter 4, verse 10 says, now the priests who carried the Ark remained standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything the Lord had commanded Joshua was done by the people, just as Moses had directed Joshua. The presence of God is the defining characteristic of every move of God. It is the cause, the reason, the stabilizer, and the motivator. While the presence of God is present, we remain confidently in the river. But there is still active leadership that must take place in the middle of every move of God. And God calls leaders to the tribes to choose and to carry. Verse 2 of chapter 4 says, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. This marks the beginning of the preparations for future generations. We need to understand this morning. Leaders in every move of God need to lead. They need to be thinking forward. They need to listen in the middle of the river. God is still speaking and leading while we are reveling in the miraculous. We can't just be in the river, in the miraculous, and think, oh, this is wonderful. Lord, just pour it out on me and stay there. No, we need to be listening. We need to be leading. We need to be understanding that God is a God of order, and he's taking us somewhere in this. There is a reason for this. There's a reason we're here. There's a reason we're experiencing the miraculous. There's a reason he showed up in power. Godly leaders follow God's leading and planning for how to move how the move of God will be an inspiration for generations to come. And this is why he called them to set up a remembrance, to set up a sign. Chapter 4, 4 to 6, it says, so Joshua called together the 12 men. He had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of Israel. I can't imagine that was easy. To serve as a sign among you. They set up a monument. Some people call it a stele. Stele is generally a carved monument that they put up in ancient times to commemorate an amazing thing that had happened. And so here we see it represented in 12 stones. It seems as though they set up one in the middle of the river as well, where the priest stood with the ark of God, it says in chapter 4, verse 9. But they set one up at Gilgal, where they camped east of Jericho, where they camped that night, it says in verse 20. And they were to set up a monument because they were not meant to stay there. God had never intended for them to stay in the river. God never intended them to stay in the middle of the miracle. He parted the river because he had a plan for the other side of the river. They had to come out of the river. And at this point, we need to realize that every move of God is not endless. The presence of God is endless. You know, his experience that we have as we live life, we cannot outrun the presence of God. Understand what I'm saying here, but every move of God, as we understand them, these great times where we meet with God in amazing ways, they're not endless. The miraculous are not endless. The miracle doesn't go on continuously, as it were. But he tells them to come up out of the river. They have lasting results, but they are not endless. Chapter 4, 15 says, then the Lord said to Joshua, command the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant law to come up out of the Jordan. Every miracle, every move of God, they're not meant to be dwelling places. They are meant to be launching points. Not meant to be dwelling places. It doesn't make any sense to stay there and wait for the water to come back over you. They're not meant to be dwelling places. They're meant to be launching points. They had to come out of the river. The intent was to cross the Jordan. The true reward was still in their future. The miracle was to turn their confidence to Joshua's leadership and to thrust them towards the promise. The miracle was to be remembered, but its purpose was future focused. Every move of God is present and future focused. Chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 says, in the future, listen to these words, in the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? That's what we're doing this morning. We're telling our children what these stones mean. When we turn the soil here years ago, I wasn't here, but the Spirit of God was here. We're telling them what the stones mean. In the future, when the children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan water, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. Verses 21 and 22 of chapter 4 says, he said to the Israelites, in the future, when your descendants ask their parents, what do these stone means? Tell them Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. I preached a bit of passage in Psalm 145, verse 4, one of my first few weeks here. It says, one generation commends your works to another, and they tell of your mighty acts. I almost decided to put a picture of the DeLorean from Back to the Future on the screen this morning. I probably should have. My wife was trying to talk me into put it in the title slide, and I'm like, we need to be a little bit more serious than that. Well, we should have had some fun. I should have used the DeLorean. Sometimes we do a great job at remembering, and we remain in the past, and then we camp there, and we build a spiritual house there, and we forget to go back to the future. And I want to tell you, it's important for you to sit and remember. It's important for you to sit and dwell in those moments and remember the stones that were picked up from the middle of the river and remember the monument and remember the ground turning and remember, you know, the burnt building that didn't become the church. And remember the very humble beginnings. It's important to think and to remember, but it was meant to be remembered so that we would bolster your faith now in the future, to push you forward as blocks of faith and building blocks of grace and mercy that push you forward. It was never meant to be remembered so that you could live there and say, oh, I wish we could go back to those days. I know what we mean when we say, I've said it myself. I remember the first time I met with God and he filled me with his back. I long for those moments are amazing. I understand what we mean by those things. But God has put that memory in your mind to spur you on to the future. There are generations of Warden Full Gospel Assembly yet to come. There's young generations sitting in this room right now, little girls in pink dresses. The monument was for the inspiration of generations. It's good to remember, but it's meant to inspire the future. This past summer, I've been so blessed by Bethel Park Camp. And recently been able to be on the board, and now I'm liaising with the Next Gen Ministries and stuff, and I'm excited about it. It's great. It's amazing. And I got to sit in a youth camp this summer. And I was there, and I was there as part of the pastoral team and whatnot, and you know, I went up and I prayed with a few students, but much of the time I sat back and just watched over what God was doing. And I felt in my spirit God just say, pay attention. And I think it was on a Thursday night, I was sitting in my seat, and I happen to believe that young men still get visions. Anybody believe that? I think young men and young women still dream dreams. And I sat there and I got this picture of a dam on a river. And people were happy with this great pile of water that was created, and they were jumping in and out of it, and they were loving it and everything. But you could begin to see the dam begin to crack a little bit, and they were excited about it. And I was like, what in the world are you showing me? Why am I even thinking about this right now? And God was just like, these are the moments. See, there's miraculous moments that happen. But then he showed me down the river. And I looked down the river, and here's young people with shovels digging into the riverbed looking for water. Digging down, seeking for some kind of moisture. Thank you. I should have one of these, my own personal. Just put it on like a backpack. You know me by now. And the picture I got was this dam was representative of us trying to hold on to these miraculous moments, these great watershed moments that we have in our life, and we try to extend them, and we try to get them out, and we try to make them last and everything, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But I don't know if you realize, but every dam that we try to create in the presence, in the river of the presence of God, always breaks because he's thinking about the generations ahead. And you may be thinking, oh, well, you're saying that, you know, we dammed up the river and we stopped the river of God from flowing to the next. That's not what I'm saying at all. God then spoke to me and he said, pray that these young people do not set up a dam here at this camp and then go back to their churches and not bring the Spirit of God with them. Don't let the miraculous that happens here stay here. And I began to pray that way. say, Lord, I said, it's important for them to remember what happens here. I have moments in my youth camp years, and I wanted them to remember what happened here. I wanted them to remember, but I wanted them to remember the miracle that happened here in their life to inspire them to take the stones, to make a memory, a monument of what happened here, but then to move on from it and to come back and visit it once in a while and to remember what God did in your life, but to move on for it and use what God did in your life to inspire generations. We have young people that can do so much in their schools. Little kids that I believe for in the generations to come and right now in the church, in the present at Wardenful Gospel Assembly, that can change their own realms of influence. And today I'm asking you with me to just keep this river of the presence of God flowing in our lives from generation to generation. I'm not saying don't revel in the miraculous. I'm not saying do not remember the moves of God. But what I am saying is that when you remember them, remember that God gave you those moments to inspire you to reach the next generation. Inspire you to reach your neighbor who may be your same age. Maybe to reach the people in your own generation, but never stop reaching. Never let the presence of God stop leading you. We go where the presence of God goes. Amen. Listen, I am so happy that you're here with us today. I don't know if this sermon is what you were expecting this morning or not, but I'm asking you to hear my heart this morning. I listened to all the stories, all the amazing things that happened at Warden, and I'm inspired. And part of me is just like, oh, it would have been great to be there. It would have been great to see it like that. But every time I dwell in those memories and I think about them, God says, there's more. There's more. There's more. Don't stop dreaming for more. We are in a city with 8 million plus people that need to know Jesus. Don't stop dreaming for more. God has more planned. He can do the miraculous in your life right now. Maybe you need healing in your body. Let Him change your position. Let Him change your situation. Maybe you've been dealing with depression. Let Him change your situation. Maybe you've been struggling with a relationship that you need to deal with. Let Him change your position. If you're with me this morning and you believe that God still has so much more left to do at Wardenful Gospel Center, I want you to stand in this place. We're going to worship this morning. We have an amazing afternoon planned. Bouncy castles and stuff out there for all ages. Not restricting anybody. There's amazing food. We have some Portuguese chicken and some rice and potatoes. It's amazing. We have a beautiful cake. And we have you here. So enjoy each other today, will you? Tell the stories. Sit down and tell the stories and share what God has done. And, you know, maybe you'll set up a Stella in somebody else's life that they can look back at this moment and say, that was the day I sat down with Mr. Sonnenberg and he told me an amazing story. Or Pastor Nerling and he told me an amazing story. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. I thank you for passion. I thank you that you still speak. Thank you that you still give visions and you still give dreams. And I just pray, oh God, that by the Holy Spirit, Lord, that your heart would have been communicated this morning and that we would be willing to receive, apply it to our hearts today, Lord Jesus. Father, we love this family. But as much as I love this family, Lord, they are loved and highly favored by you all the more. So, Father, we celebrate these amazing people today. We celebrate your faithfulness in their life. And we celebrate where you're leading us and what you're going to do in the future. We give you all the praise We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's just worship with this song, and then I'll come back and close, and we can have some food together. Amen.